He's so good. Hallelujah. We are ready to receive the word. Why don't you go, if you will, with me to 1 Corinthians 11. And before we actually talk about some other things, let's talk about receiving the word. Because it matters. And no matter how long you're saved, how long you've been coming to church, it's good to be reminded of these things, right? And oh, well, by the way, good morning, everyone, friends and family. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Katie Stallman. My husband does almost all of the preaching here, but he sometimes will ask me to fill in, so he's getting some rest this weekend and has asked me to fill in for him, so I gladly do it. I just love being together with my church family and thankful for the opportunity to share the gospel with you this morning. Just humbly and reverently come before the word and before him to share with you what he has to say. So let's open in 1 Corinthians 11:23, because no matter how long we're saved, we need to be reminded to come to the service, to come to church expectant, right? Because anything you do after a while can become mundane, can become a habit. And it's just sort of what you do and what your family has you do. And some people come because someone made them come, or, you know, their spouse wanted them to come, or their mother or whatever. But if we come with the right heart, we'll actually receive more. And sometimes when people have been saved a while, they've sort of gotten callous about and taken for granted what they actually get when they come here. And if you're not careful, you can come and really not receive much. But it's not because God didn't have something for you. It's not because the minister didn't prepare it. It's because you didn't receive it. You didn't have faith for it. You didn't expect it. You know, some things we receive because God willed it, or he wants us to have it. You know, he brought it to us. But some things we receive because we came to him. We desired it of him. And our desire is very important in whether or not we receive something from him. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, and I'm going to read in the Amplified Classic. And it says this: "For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you." And that's what's happening here this morning. I'm passing on to you what he gave to me. "And the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat.'" Now, this is concerning, you know, we always sort of mention these scriptures when we're talking about communion. And communion in the sense when we're taking the elements, we're actually passing out, you know, the communion wafers and the juice. And so we think of it that way. And we remember what he did when he shed his blood. But also, this is in a time of communion, which is right now. Because there's communion, the elements that you take, and then there's communion like fellowship, talking to each other, receiving from him. And so we're not in a communion service where we're handing out the elements, but we're in a communion service if we come right and we come ready to receive. And he said, "Then when you come, take and eat." And so, you know, I'm a parent. I have two boys, wonderful boys, so thankful for them. And, you know, as a mother, you prepare a meal, right? And whether you like it or you don't. Just because you're a woman, you don't have to like cooking, you know. Just like because you're a man, you don't have to like fixing things. And so anyway, you prepare a meal and you put it on the table, right? And then what do? You call everyone to the table. And then, you know, sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, sometimes they take a while, one comes first, then there's two others, and mothers always want to serve hot food, right? And grandmas always want to serve hot food. So when your mother and your grandma call you to the table, just come. But even more so, when your father calls you to the table, come. And I think there's many Sundays, you know, people are at home and the Lord's calling them to the table. And they're doing frivolous things and he's calling them to the table. And he's waiting because the food is there and prepared and ready. But what he said in this verse, take and eat. And he offers the food like the mother offers the food, but it's our job to eat it. And I'm talking about the word, eating the word. And it means taking it in, thinking about it, speaking it back out, being a doer. We're not just here to take notes and then wait till next Sunday when we take notes again. We're actually here to hear something to do. And the Bible says if you don't, if you're just a hearer, you're not a doer, you're deceived. You know why? Because when you're not saved, what is the enemy? Ignorance, right? So then you get saved and you get some knowledge. And then, oh, you're knowing something, and so life gets a little better for you. But then if you're not careful, knowledge is the enemy. Because now you know, but you don't do anymore because you just know so much. So we're here not just to know, not just to eat, actually do, right? So we don't just take notes so we can file them in our notebook when we get home. We're taking notes so that we can look at it throughout the week and know what to do. And go back into the Word and say those verses out loud and think about those verses and meditate upon it and thank God for it and ask Him for revelation and actually commune with Him over the meal. And that's what we do at the table. When you're at the supper table, people don't, you know, unless there's a major fight going on, we're not all just sitting there, you know, silent, not talking to each other. We're communing over the food. And that's what he intended to have happen, is that we're talking to him about the spiritual meat we're fed, right? He desires that. But if you don't pay attention, you can over time let that slip, where you just came in to sit down, take notes, and go home. And then you wonder why your life is weak, things are failing, something's not how it should be. And actually, if you go over here and you read verse, let's read verse 30 and see what the Bible calls that. When we just come and take notes, don't really care much, and then leave again, he calls it careless and unworthy participation. And he said, if you do that, then that's the reason you're weak, sickly, and many of you have fallen, or enough of you have fallen into sleep or died prematurely. So we feel weak in our life. We're sickly in our life because really we're just coming and fulfilling an obligation. We're just coming and listening. We're not really doing the word. And therefore, the Bible says, he said, could you go to verse 30? Thank you. That we have had a careless and unworthy participation. Wow. Wow. That we just took up a seat. We didn't actually engage our hearts with what he was saying, with what he was feeding. We didn't actually take it in and intend to do it. We were hoping our spouse did it. We were hoping our kids did it. But we really weren't going to do it. Right? And so he wants us to come to the table. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 23, I know it's a psalm that many of us have read, and along with Psalm 91, right? It's two of the most popular psalms. And what does he say? He said, I've prepared a table before you. Everything you need is before you. Where is it? In the Word. There's nothing you need he didn't already provide. It's just a matter of, did you take it in? And can I tell you something that I have learned over the years? You know, some things you learn by revelation. And some things you learn from experience. And we've been around just long enough to know a couple things. And one thing I've learned is that many times, listen carefully, many times, healing is not about healing. That most people, it wasn't just like a disease, affliction, whatever, they just needed more healing scriptures. Most people need renewed mind concerning, not even healing, rest in your body, rest in your mind. You know, I don't remember what translation it is. Maybe someone can find it. And it says something, the wording is something like this. When your mind gets relief, your body is bound to get some. Rest in our minds. Shame, Reverend Savante will probably find it. He's so good at that. Shame, guilt, condemnation. Ooh, offense, anger. Do you know James says that wrath works not the righteousness of God? Anger, having a temper, shame, guilt, condemnation, all of these things afflict a person in their body because their mind, you know, gets messed up. Many times, healing isn't about healing. It could be sexual sin. It could be drugs, drinking, those sorts of things, open doors to the devil. And so if we're not well in our body and we have been confessing healing scriptures, listening to healing sermons, feeding on the healing of the word, and we're no better, we ought to stop and ask God. You may even want to ask your pastor. Because sometimes help is not initiated until you come. Go over here with me, if you will, to Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. We're not just moving the food around the plate, right? Your kids, they ever try and pull that trick on you like you didn't do it first? There's stuff on the plate they don't want to eat, and they separate it and move it around the plate and try and make it look like they ate something, but you know as a parent they didn't eat any of it. We're not doing that here this morning. We're not taking this Holy Ghost advice and just setting it aside and moving it around. It doesn't apply to us. It applies to them. It applies to them. It applies to them. If you need healing in your body, it applies to you, right? And he said, Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you got to come. You come unto him. You know why? He already came unto you. In the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he brought you everything there ever is that you need. He already came. And so now it's your job to come unto him. How do you do that? Lord, I'm suffering in my body. I've been suffering in my body. You know, like the woman who he said, she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But what did she do? Came to Jesus. But we're just reliant on information we already know. Scriptures we memorized, sermons we've heard. But hello, when you're doing the same thing and not getting better, do something different, right? Do something different. Mark 4:24 in the Amplified. Mark 4:24. Can I just say this? I am so thankful to be part of this local body. I am so thankful to be part of this family. It's been such a joy in my life being part of this church, getting to serve the Lord here, getting to know you here, and what a blessing it is to serve alongside you, to know him with you, to grow together in him. In Mark 4:24, to the Amplified Classic, please. He said unto them, be careful what you're hearing. Well, you can spend a whole sermon on be careful what you're hearing. And we hear that and we think, well, don't listen to secular music. But it's more than that. Be careful who you're seeking counsel from, who you're letting talk in your ear all the time. You know, if there's someone around you and they're just offended and spewing offense and just always talking about offended and what the church could do better, what the pastor could do better, what you're not doing, blah, 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 I would encourage you, don't hear that too much. The number one way to be deceived is being around someone already deceived, right? So don't fellowship with that. And then again, I don't know, it always just seems to be these days, be careful what you're listening to on YouTube. Just all kind of different ideas of things and people not anointed, not in an office to minister the word, but we're trusting them because they sit on their couch in their living room and think they know something. But I encourage you, feed from someone called to a fivefold office. The measure, be careful about what you hear, the measure of thought and study that you give it, right? Because then once you hear something, you play it over in your mind and you think about it. You know, you ever hear a news report in the morning or something, you think about it the rest of the day. Or maybe you listened to it before you went to bed and then you thought about it in the night. Be careful what you hear. I like to listen to a man named Alexander Scorby. He reads the Bible, and I like to listen to him in the night or all night long, or sometimes I wake up and then listen to a sermon or whatever if I can't sleep, because, well, anyways, if I'm not sleeping. So the measure of thought and study you give to hear the truth will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and then more besides will be given to you who hear. So, but sometimes we come to church and, you know, you can come to church just like you're driving in your car. You know, when you're driving in your car, sometimes you're daydreaming and you're doing other things and the music's just kind of playing in the background. And you can do that here at church where the minister's voice is just in the background and you're just daydreaming about lists and things, because all of us have things to do. But then we come and we leave no better than when we came. We don't leave any different because we didn't really hear. But if we come to church and we think, I know today the Lord is going to say something just to me. And you can even ask him. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things you did not know. There's lots we don't know. But how do we find out what he knows? We have to call. And so we come to church expecting. We come to church hungry. We come to church putting a demand on God that he has an answer for us, a direction for us, a revelation for us, a rebuke for us, an encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort, something to comfort us in whatever season we are in. Maybe you need wisdom as a parent. Maybe you need wisdom as a spouse. Maybe you need wisdom in your business and your job and the next thing you're going to do, whatever it is, and he'll help you, but you have to expect it. He said, what's given to you is what the measure in which you hear. And a lot of times people think, well, the minister didn't have anything for me, or I haven't received much in church for months. But that's not on God. And that's not on the minister. That's on you. Did you come expecting? Did you come in your heart thinking, I just know when I get there, if no one else gets an answer, I'm getting an answer. I hope everybody else does. I'm believing for everybody else too. But I want you to know, no matter what, I am not going without. I am receiving my answer today. And I actually came to church with that same attitude and talked to the Lord about it, even though I was the one ministering. Because I'm just the vessel. It's him who's saying the things. So I know I need it because it's from him. So go to Mark 11:24. And you all know this verse. We have read this verse. You could probably, almost all of you, recite it. And it says this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And that's not just true when we're believing for a bill to be paid, we're believing for health in our body, we're believing for restoration in a marriage. It's also true when you come to church. If you don't desire anything, you're not getting much out of it. If you're just coming because you have to, you won't get much out of it. Come expecting to receive something from Him. Come expecting to receive an answer. And it's very simple. It only takes a minute. You can say it in your car when you're coming through the door. Father, I thank you. I get to come to church today. I know I'm going to receive an answer. I know I'm going to receive help. I know I'm going to receive direction, whatever it is. Listen to this. You know, I've encouraged people to do this for a while. Remember the Ephesian prayers that you pray for yourself, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and then Colossians. And part of Ephesians 3 and Colossians is that you're strengthened with all might, right? And you should be praying those prayers for yourself, because otherwise, just life in general, in, you know, doing your regular activities, you can tend to feel weak, but not with supernatural strength, not when you're receiving that. And that's what I'm talking about coming to church, receiving. We want to be good receivers. I receive your word today, God. It is life unto me. It's health unto me. Health to my mind, health to my spirit, health to my body. It matters. But sometimes people have failed to receive the word, so they're weak in their body. And can I tell you this? No amount of working out makes you stronger. Your strength is going to have to come from your spirit. So you can work out every day you want and still be weak. It's strength from the inside. The strength on the inside affects your mind. The strength on the inside affects your body, right? Okay. Now, that was the introduction. And then we're sort of going to switch gears and talk about some things concerning family or marriage, okay? And I don't really know why. And my mind sort of struggled with it a little this morning, but he wants to talk to the ladies. Now, there's plenty of instruction for the men. Don't misunderstand me in there. But he wants to talk to the ladies, okay? So, in men, just be supportive, quietly supportive. Don't amen too loud for your ladies. But may I read you a tale? So I loved to read to my kids when they were younger. And, you know, Pastor always says, we're not reading 3 points in a poem. Well, he's not. But I am. Please forgive me, Pastor. You know, he left and he said, now don't mess up the church. I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. Okay, are you ready? Okay, now find yourself in here, ladies. This is an old Korean tale. It's called The Tiger's Whisker. And this story is of Yun Ok. That's her name. She's a married girl who came to the house of a wise sage for counsel. Her problem was this. It is my husband, wise one, she said. He is very dear to me. For the past 3 years, he's been fighting in the wars. Now that he's returned, he hardly speaks to me or to anyone else. If I speak to him, he doesn't seem to hear. When he talks at all, it's roughly. If I serve him food not to his liking, he pushes it aside and angrily leaves the room. Sometimes when he should be working in the rice field, I see him sitting idly on top of the hill looking toward the sea. I want a potion, she said, that he will be loving and gentle as he used to be. The wise sage instructed the young woman to get for him the whisker of a living tiger, for which he would make her the magic potion. At night, when her husband was asleep, she crept from her house with a bowl of rice and meat sauce in her hand, and she went to the place on the mountainside where the tiger was known to live. Standing far off from the tiger's cave, she held out the bowl of food, calling the tiger to come and eat, but the tiger did not come. And each night she returned, doing the same thing, and each time a few steps closer. And although the tiger did not come to eat, he did become accustomed to seeing her there. And one night she approached with a stone's throw to the cave. This time the tiger came a few steps toward her and then stopped. And the two of them stood looking at one another in the moonlight. And it happened again the following night, and this time they were so close she could talk to him in a soft, soothing voice. The next night, after looking carefully into her eyes, the tiger ate the food that she held out for him. After that, when Yanoke came in the night, she found the tiger waiting for her on the trail. Nearly 6 months passed since the night of her first visit, and at last one night, after caressing the animal's head, she said, "Oh, generous animal, may I have one of your whiskers? Do not be angry with me." And she snipped one off of his whisker. And the tiger did not become angry as she had feared that he might. She went down the trail, running with the whisker tightly clutched in her hand, and she brought it to the wise sage. He examined it to see that it was real and then tossed it into the fire, causing the poor girl to become stunned. And the sage said to her, "Yanoke, is a man more vicious than a tiger? And if he is less, is he less responsive to kindness and understanding? If you can win the love and confidence of a wild and bloodthirsty animal, listen, by gentleness and patience. Surely you can do the same with your husband." And you say, what in the world does all that have to do with everything? It has everything to do with everything. Yes, our husbands have responsibility. Yes, they are responsible to the Lord. How they treat us, if they pray for us, how they lead the family. But wives have an influence in the home they have underestimated. And I'm to say that husbands act certain ways sometimes because the wife doesn't act how she should. And going and thinking over and over and over again, why isn't he changing? He's not changing. I'm tired of him not changing. He's always rough like this. He's always had these bad habits. He never does anything like he's supposed to. He's lazy. He's this, he's that. And nothing changes. Again, maybe we should have a clue that he's not changing because you're not. And that even this wild tiger, now, obviously, he's angry, he's upset, he's opposite of her, he wants nothing to do with her. And what does she do? She slowly makes steps toward him. You know, where first, he just lets her see it, see her. The tiger can just see her. And she has the food in her hand. And you know, over time, she gets closer to him, and closer to him, and closer to him, until she's earned his trust. And she can touch him. And she's sweet to him. And same thing with our husbands. We've beaten them over the head with, why aren't you? How come you're not? You never. You've always. And wonder why he goes the other way. When, if through gentleness and kindness and patience, we reached out to the wild tiger. And they are sometimes. How do you receive? Through faith and patience. Remember last week our pastor said, men change quickly. They do. No. He said slowly. And you think, well, that might be a discouragement. No, God, there's hope, right? It's fine. It's all going to change. It's all going to change. It's all going to change when you change. Not your husband, you. When you change, point to yourself, when I change. No, really do it. When I change. You didn't mean that. When I change, he's going to change. Come on, ladies. When I change, he's going to change. When I change, he's going to change. I know you don't believe it. That's why I keep having you say it. When I change, he's going to change. When I change, he's going to change. So you still don't believe it. That's why I'm having you say it. When I change, he's going to change. Yeah. It's just the truth. Women have a sway over men that, and I'm not saying, you know, it's not some magical thing. I don't mean that, but who was deceived first? She led the whole family astray. And a lot of times when I see families get off, it's the woman. She's been in charge and overbearing, and she wants this and she wants that, and we're leaving, and we're, and he just follows right behind. But he'll also follow right behind when you do the word. If you'll do the word and create an environment of joy and love and peace and faith and encouragement and blessing and admiration, he'll flourish in that, and he'll follow in that too. And why don't you go with me, because you might not believe me, to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Ladies, this is where all the pages are still stuck together. We need to do a better job meditating on our part as a wife. We do. 1 Peter 3. Can I have this in the Amplified Classic? 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter 3, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I know it's sobering. I know it is. And I know you don't want to believe it, but it's true. Listen to this message again, not because it's me. It's true. Remember the 3 points in a poem that I read you about this, the tiger? And people are waiting for God to minister to their husband, and God's waiting for you. He's waiting for the wives to be a doer of the word to their husband. Remember when you vowed, I will love and honor and cherish you? Are you still? Whether he deserves it or not, God didn't ask him to deserve it. He asked you to do the word. It doesn't matter if he deserves it. That's neither here nor there. Did you deserve every blessing the Lord gave you? Surely you didn't. You received it out of grace and mercy. Reverend Tony, you sang such a wonderful song last night, and it was about Jesus, the river of mercy. You received so much in the river of grace and mercy. So why don't you give out of grace and mercy? I'm being kind to you, I'm loving you, I'm honoring you, I'm admiring you, I'm encouraging you, not because you're so good, because he's so good. Because he gave me what I didn't deserve, so now I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Are you going to be a doer of the word or not? Whether he does it or not is not on you. And that's not between you and him. That's between him and God. But you be found doing the word. The Bible asks, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? Will he? Let's be wives of faith. 1 Peter 3, 2, 3, 4, and 5. All right, ladies. Our husbands are going to observe the pure and modest way in which we conduct ourselves. Together with our reverence for our husbands, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. You're to respect him, defer to him, revere him, honor him, esteem him, appreciate him, prize him, and in the human sense, adore him, admire him, praise him, be devoted to him, deeply love him, and enjoy your husband. admire him. Encourage him for the things that he does. You say, well, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Let me tell you something. You find everything you're looking for. If you're looking for the bad, that's all you're going to see. Why don't you just look for the good? God does that in you. He finds any little thing good about you that he can and highlights it. That's what God does. He believes the best. Did you ever read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in the Amplified? Love believes the worst. But that's what we're doing. We're believing he's never going to change. He's lazy. He doesn't treat me how he should. Believe in the worst. And guess what? It's getting worse. Well, shocking. Shocking. What are you believing? Are you believing the word? Or are you believing your ideas, your thoughts, what you like to think? When people have trouble in their marriage, they like to think that the other one is the problem. They like to think that. You can get deceived doing that. You better like to think the word. Believe the best of him. He's not perfect, but he's perfect for you. You married him. Believe the best, not the worst. So admire him. You say, well, there's not much to admire. You know, we have a ladies group in Erie on Saturday night, the last Saturday of the month, and I teach on prayer, and then we pray together. And not this week, but last week, or last month when I ministered it, I ministered a message called Look on the Bright Side. Why? Because people just tend to look at the bad in everything. But ladies, especially in their spouse, there's good in him. Bring it out. And the reason you know what happens? You have cats or dogs, and the sun is out, and there's a spot in your living room or on the back of the couch, and what do? They go and glory in that light. They lay, spread out. My cats get on their back and just, you know, sprawl in the light. Husbands do that too, you know. If you'll bring the light of the word to your marriage, he'll glory in it. He'll become a different man. It'll be like that tiger in that story that I read to you. It's true. It really works. I tried it and it works. All right. Go to Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Jesus as our example. Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Just in the King James, please. Ladies, are you listening?
Yes.
He's not the problem. It's the way we're treating him that's the problem, right? The way we're ministering to him. Don't minister evil, minister good. Can I have that verse, please? Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Keep going. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now can I have the Amplified of that? Go back to 29. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am gentle. He's gentle. But ladies, we've so mistreated them sometimes instead of being gentle toward them. You know, they maybe come home from work and have a rough day and, you know, kind of talking about the things that happen. And what do? We go, oh, don't complain. At least you have a job or whatever, you know. What about you put your hand on his arm and you go, honey, I'm sorry that happened to you. Have a little gentleness, a little compassion, a little patience, you know, instead of beating them overhead with the word. How about we admire him a little? You say, well, there's not much to admire. We'll find the little thing there is. Does he go to work every day? Encourage him. I appreciate that you take the lead in this family. You're a hard worker. You go to work every day. Well, he doesn't earn enough money. No. Have faith in him. Have confidence in him. Encourage him. Admire him. Look on the bright side of him. What does he do that's right? Find something. The problem isn't him. It's the way we think about it. Right? Let me tell you this. If you think he's the problem, he is. If you think he's the problem, he is. Right? Okay. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 12. I know it's thick. I know it's a little heavy. It's like eggs and steak for breakfast, right? We're here at the breakfast meal. I know there's a little steak in here. It's a little thick. It's a lot to digest. I won't keep you too much longer because it's, you know, really chewing on it. But you can do it, ladies. You can do it. I have faith in you. The Holy Ghost knows you can, or he wouldn't have me minister it, right? And see, when I minister like this, everyone's so glad when Pastor comes back. They're like, thank God. Don't ever come back up here again with all that. We can't take it, you know. And so, don't worry. Pastor will smooth it all over next week when he's back. He'll clean it all up and everything. Proverbs 31, 12. Can we have that in the Amplified Classic? Okay. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her. Are we doing that? Are we comforting him? Are we encouraging him? Are we seeing the good in him? Only. Only. Not the bad, not the worst, not he's never going to change, not what you don't like. It's easy to find what you don't like. And if you're looking for it, you'll find it. And I would highly encourage you, ladies, to pray Ephesians 3:16 and Colossians 1:11 for yourself, that you're strengthened with all might, because you can't do this outside the help from the Holy Ghost. Because in yourself, you're like, psh, forget it. I'm done. You might still be married, but in your head, done. Or keeping him at bay. But you need supernatural strength. And if you receive that strength from him, you'll be able to do the word. You know that? But on your own, you can't. You know, John 14:26 says he's the helper. He's the strengthener. But if you ask him, if you receive him as that, do you need his help? Do you need his strength? You sure do. Because you're going nowhere on your own, right? Okay. Go over here. We'll just share a few more things, okay? Now, go to 1 Peter 3:6. 1 Peter 3:6. Oh, this will change your life, I promise. It'll change your life if you'll do it. It'll change your life if you'll do it. It'll change your life if you'll do it. If you'll be a doer of the word, it'll change your life. Not because he deserves it, not because he does everything right, not because he's perfect, because the word is true and you're a doer. And he will watch over his word to perform it. You'll be amazed as you step out to do it, as you step out to be the wife God called you to, the grace that'll be there to help you do it. You know, have you ever been in a healing service? And I'm sure you've heard Brother Hagin say this. They'll minister to somebody healing. You know, their shoulder was all kinked up. Maybe it was frozen or something. They get ministered to. And what do they say to them? Move your shoulder around. And then they tell them, the more you do it, the more you can do it. The more you do it, the more you can do it. That's true in this too. Wives are waiting for some special feeling to come upon them that they just feel real loving. They feel a lot of admiration before they act it. But if you just get doing the word and ask the Lord to help you, his grace will be there to help you, and you'll be amazed how easy it becomes. And the more you do it, the easier it is. And the more you do it, the more you can do it. And it's like something that just, it's like that snowball effect. You start to do it a little, and then it gathers up some more. And you start to do it a little more, and it gathers up some more. And next thing you know, it's gained momentum. And still, you're just a different wife. And then, ta-da, he's a different husband. Let's go first, ladies. If Eve was first in disobedience, let's be first in obedience. Instead of leading him down the wrong path with our complaining and our strife and our, you know, wrong thinking about him, let's lead him to the right path with our encouragement and our admiration and our faith. Okay, 1 Peter 3:6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and you are not afraid with amazement. You're not. He sometimes does things and you're amazed how dumb it really was. Or he acts in a way and you're afraid about it, you know, like, oh, why does he act like that? And you get all worked up. He does things that seem afraid and to make you afraid and amazed. But the Bible says, don't be. Don't be. And can I say this, husbands? Don't give her a reason to be afraid and amazed. You know, some men, they're very, explosive. They blow up about things, you know. They're setting fire to everything. It's scorched earth, you know. Hey, ladies, don't throw gas on the fire. Throw the water on the fire. Calm, encouraging, loving, admiration. Let them calm down. Sometimes silence is the best answer. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Hey, guys, slow to wrath. That's what James says. Slow to wrath. Because men, fine. Women, we might cry. But guys, you get angry. So there. But you don't have to. You can control it. All that's the work of the flesh. How do you control your flesh? With your spirit. Hello, church. We go to church. You control your flesh with your spirit. That's why I said pray those verses in Ephesians and Colossians. Because you need strength from the inside not to tell him off. You need strength on the inside to be like, why don't you just calm down? That doesn't help. The tone doesn't help. You know, the Bible says that there's something called willful contrariness. Willful contrariness, where they're just against everything you say, everything you do, everything you present, whatever. It's ungodly, right? So, ladies, when he does those things, instead of being drawn also into the flesh, the worst thing you can do when he's fleshing out is also flesh out. You just added fuel to the fire. You throw water on the fire or flour on the fire, get the fire extinguisher out. You go to God and collect yourself. And you go, you know, something must have happened in your day. I'm sorry that happened. Calm it all back down. My son, Michael, broke his collarbone, a couple weeks ago. And I was on the porch. I had a counseling appointment on the phone. And Tim was gone fixing his parents' vehicle at their house across town over by JCC. And Timothy was at work. And Michael comes through the house onto the porch, and he's like one of these, you know. And I can tell, my kids have broken bones, and I can tell by the look on his face he broke something. And he's got this big, huge, you know, bloody thing on his leg, and it's all tore up, and his clothes are all dirty, and he's got road rash everywhere, and this cut behind his leg and whatever. So he took the turn hard and flipped the four-wheeler over on himself. And thankfully, he got out from under it because he was back there alone. Thank God he spared him more difficulty. It's like, how do you praise him over a collarbone? Because that's all it was, you know. So anyway, so Michael's real good about driving those things, but it was real dry. We hadn't had any rain, you know, and he hit a spot that had some gravel, and he came out from under it. And those types of situations can be real upsetting, you know. And I said, Michael, it's all going to be okay. It's fine. And he's like, but the four-wheeler, you know, Dad told me not to drive it like that. And, you know, he's concerned about the four-wheeler. He's got a broken collarbone. He's concerned he broke the four-wheeler. You know, the handles are all. But he's real tough like that. Michael broke his arm one time, and he came in. He's like, oh, my arm hurts. I'm like, you're fine. Just go sit on the couch for a few minutes. You'll be fine. I didn't know he broke his arm, you know. I know, that makes me sound like a horrible mother. Promise I love my kids. And I just said, Michael, it's fine. It's fine. So see, in situations that come up and people are upset and things are, you know, can be escalated, we can de-escalate. Just calm it all down, ladies. Okay? All right. Let's go to this last thing, all right? And then we'll close. All right. I know it's a lot to digest. You know when you go to a restaurant and you have a really good meal, but you're so full, and then you take the leftovers and you go home? That's what you do. You take all this home with you, and you can eat it again later because it's a lot in one sitting. Why don't we go to 1 Peter 3:2 in the Amplified Classic, please? Great job on sound today, by the way, guys. Thank you. I know you don't want to hear this, ladies. Because once you're a mother, your temptation is always to be drawn to your kids, right? Put the kids first. Do what the kids want. And we love our kids. And we do a lot for our kids, and we're thankful for them and all of those things. But here's what we need to do. Make him number one. Make him number one. That you dote on him, you honor him, you care about him, you prize him. Can I tell you something that I've been seeing? If you pay attention, you just observe things through life, you'll learn stuff in every situation. But I have noticed that mothers are starting to make idols of their daughters. That their life is focused around their daughter. That they're focused on what she's doing, where she's going. They're making her Lord. What she wants, how she likes things. They side with the daughter over the husband. And listen, the daughters know it. That they put the daughters over him. That's out of divine order. And we know anything out of order doesn't work, right? You ever go to a vending machine and it says out of order? Nothing's coming out of here. You're not getting what you need and what you want. So the mothers keep that in the proper order. 1 Peter 3:2 says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourself, together with your reverence for your husband, you're to feel for him all that reverence includes, respect, defer, revere, honor. Honor him. He's to be number one. When the kids go off to college, when the kids go get married, it's going to be you and him. And are you still going to like each other and spend time together and enjoy each other and, you know, still be able to talk? So let's go over some practical things that we can do, okay? Okay, number one, we could listen to him. Just listen. He doesn't want you to fix everything. Just listen. Listen to him. And don't try to correct what he's saying. That it's not in line with the word. He's not saying faith, you know, all these things. Just listen to him. Spend time with just him. How often do you spend time with just him? It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. But how often do you spend time just the two of you? This is something very easy and simple. Do you text him during the day, throughout the day? I love to send my husband encouraging messages and messages that I'm thinking about him and can't wait to see him, can't wait to be with him, you know, all those things. Make his favorite meal or buy his favorite meal. If you're not going to cook it, just get him his favorite meal. Make him a priority. Other than Jesus, he's the center of your life. Also this, don't let your own interests be first. And I'm talking about, even if you don't work outside the home, you're not joining any clubs or anything like that. Ladies, we can even make homemaking and taking care of the kids first. And that's a godly thing to do, to be a homemaker, to lead the home with the kids, to train the kids and all of that, guide the home, but not before him. Not before him. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't have time for that. I have dishes to do. I have laundry to do. I have da-da-da-da. No, 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 no. Him first. Then those things. It's like tithing. If you tithe first, you miraculously have money for the rest. If you put him first, you'll have time for the rest. Right? There's a divine order for that. Don't be overly occupied with your own duties. Okay, let's close there. Aren't you thankful for the word? I know it's a lot to take in. I know it's a lot to absorb and to feed and to meditate on. But you can do it. I have faith in you. I know you can. Start today. You know, because the Bible talks about when the seed is sown, but then something comes to snatch it away before you can even do it. Don't let that happen. Quick. Do it quick. Do it quick and consistent. Consistent. Today. My husband isn't with me today, but I've already texted him messages, you know. And I'll call him later. Call him and be sweet. You're just thinking of him, just love him, appreciate him, whatever. But be a doer of the word right away, as quick as you can. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word today. We're so grateful we get to gather together to learn what to do. Father, we honor and praise you. We're thankful for you. We thank you and praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. I just ask if there's any here that you're not sure where you would go if you were to pass from this life today. Now, Jesus was crucified, buried, and risen again for you, that you could have eternal life, that you could be confident knowing that when you leave this earth, you will be with Jesus. But if there's any here and you're not sure of that, if you feel like, I don't know if I would go to heaven if I pass from this earth, you can be sure. Is there any here that you would like to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior? If you've never done that, or maybe you're not sure, if you'd raise your hand, we could pray together with you. All of us here in an attitude of faith, we support you. Is there anyone who's never asked Jesus into their heart as Lord and Savior, but they would like to? If that's you, would you raise your hand? And we'll all pray together. I don't see any hands. Is there anyone here today that you do know Jesus as your Savior, but you've walked away from him? The Bible says that we should not be ashamed before him at his coming. And we know he's coming quickly. If the Lord were to come today, would you be in right standing with him? Would you be ashamed about where you are in this life? Is there anyone here that you can say, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I may have even been coming to church, but I've walked away from him. I don't have any personal fellowship with him. But I want to get right with God. If that's you and you raise your hand, we'll also pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Is there anyone else that wants to rededicate their life to him? Thank you. We see that hand. Well, let's all pray this together. And if you didn't raise your hand, you can still pray it with your heart and renew your spirit, your relationship with the Father. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Please forgive me. I have walked away from fellowship with you. I come to you today and repent. And I thank you, Lord, you welcome me in with open arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me to your feet? Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word today. You are good and worthy and holy. We go from this place, doers of the word. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.